Jesus' name. Amen. Have you been watching the news lately, especially the financial news? It seems to be getting uglier and uglier all the time. You know, you watch what's going on with mortgages. I know someone who was in the mortgage business, and they totally lost their entire business. We watch what's going on now on Wall Street with the stock market, and we see the stock market just diving. It seems like every day that you watch, it keeps getting lower and lower and lower, and people are beginning to wonder, you know, what's going to happen to my retirement? Is there going to be anything left? And then you hear people beginning to say, and it seems to happen pretty quick, let's go after the presidents of these companies and let's just kill them all. And that really comes from our society, especially here in America, where we have a war going on between the rich and the poor. You know, the rich look down on the poor, and the poor look down on the rich. And we look at them as a whole, and if you have no money, you complain about those who have a lot of money. If you have a lot of money, you tend to complain about those who have no money. And it seems like this going on has gone on through the ages, that people have wondered, you know, what about the fact that if I serve God and live for God and try to do the right thing, it seems like I'm always struggling. But if someone, you know, is willing to cheat and lie and steal, it seems like they always do so well. Now, first of all, that's not always true. Because there are some who do the right thing and live the right way, and you know, they do well financially. And there are those who cheat, lie, and steal who do not do well financially. But generally speaking, people tend to look at life that way. And Psalm 49 really deals with this whole issue. And I want us to look at several things tonight. Notice, first of all, in verses 1 through 4, that we need to listen to the psalmist's summons. The psalmist here is summoning the world. It is a universal summons. And he is calling us to listen, and this call goes out to the entire world. Notice verse 1. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. It's kind of saying, you need to listen to what I'm about to say. You need to hear what I'm about to say. Whether you are great, whether you are small, whether you are rich, or whether you are poor, listen to me. Not understanding what the psalmist is about to say can cause all kinds of problems in our lives. It can cause people to lose perspective by envying those who are rich and the wrong people envy. It can cause people to mix up their priorities and think that, you know, the almighty dollar is the thing instead of almighty God. In fact, some people have set aside everything in life, family, friends, God, so that they can, you know, get more money, get more things. It can keep people from getting saved. They're more concerned about money and more concerned about making money than they are with a relationship with God. It can cause people to leave the ministry. You know, people are in ministry and they see other ways in which they can make money and other ways in which they can get rich. And so some have left serving God. So the psalmist says, look, you need to listen to what I have to say. And it doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum, you need to listen. And in verse 3 and 4, he assures those who listen that he will speak wisely. Notice, my mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I will turn to my ear to a proverb. With a harp, I will expound my riddle. You know, sometimes we hear someone speak, and really in our heart, we would say, you know what, I wish you hadn't said anything. Yeah, I wish you didn't share that with me. Some will speak and say things, and you'll listen to them, and you'll say, oh, that doesn't make any sense to me. Some will speak, and you'll say, you know what? That has no value whatsoever. But the psalmist is saying, look, if you listen to what I have to say, you need to understand what I'm about to say is very wise. Therefore, it's worth listening to. Reminds me of Proverbs chapter 8. I think it's the first 18 verses in that chapter where the writer of Proverbs keeps saying that wisdom calls out, and wisdom calls out to all who will listen, to come and listen, to come and gain wisdom, to get wisdom. That's the psalmist is saying here. Look, I want you to listen because what I'm about to say is very wise, and you'll do well to listen to it. The word of God will make us wise if we listen to it and apply it. It is very disheartening to me when we see Christians who are not maturing in their faith because they're not spending time in the Word of God. But the psalmist says, look, if you come and listen to me, you're going to gain wisdom because what I'm about to say is wise. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. Notice, I will turn my ear to a proverb. With a harp, I will expound my riddle. Psalmist is saying he's going to solve one of life's most perplexing questions or riddles, and that is the prosperity of the wicked. The purpose of this psalm is to help God's people to rise above the ungodly drive for riches and understand where riches really fit in life. So the call goes out to every one of us here tonight, and he says, look, I want you to listen. Listen to what I have to say. And the first thing that he says in the psalm is that we need to understand the shortcomings of wealth. We need to understand the shortcomings of wealth. Notice verse 5. Why should I fear when evil days come, when the wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? Why fear people who have money? Why should I let the prosperity of others bother me? Have you ever been bothered because someone's driving a fancy car and you're driving an old clunker? Have you ever been bothered maybe when you see someone with a big fancy home and maybe you're living in a trailer? Have you ever been bothered when you see someone with all kinds of money and you open your wallet and there's nothing in it? He's saying here, why are you bothered by that? Why are you afraid of wealth? And he gives us two statements here, or a couple of verses that result in two statements, as to why we should not be bothered by the prosperity of others. Two things about money that we need to understand. First of all, money cannot redeem a life. Notice verse 7. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for life is costly. No payment is ever enough. That he should live on forever and not see decay. You know, think about it. If you have money, first of all, you have money to pay your bills. That's always handy. You may have money and you can pay your bills and then you can get some of the hobbies and trinkets that people get. Or you could have money and you could even go beyond that. You can pay your bills, you can get all your hobbies and all your trinkets, whatever they may be, and then you have money above that to buy whatever you want. So you work really hard and you gain more money, and you work really hard and you gain more money, and you work really hard and gain more money so that you have all kinds of money. But the reality is that if you have all the money in the world, you can never redeem someone's life. In other words, if you can have this whole world and all the power and money that you can gain in this whole world, it will still fall short of the ability to save yourself and to save somebody else, to redeem their life. Matthew 16:26 says, what good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his life? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Some people spend their whole life trying to build a big business or make more money, and in the end, it does nothing to get a person closer to God. In fact, I know many people who own their own business, and they work really hard, and they make good money, But they work so hard in the end, not only do they not have a relationship with God, but so often you find that in the end those people lose their families and end up divorced without anybody. Because they were so busy trying to earn more money and make more money and get more things, and they end up without anything. I think that's the way for many people in history. In fact, if we look at history, many people thought they could buy God by giving money. You know, if we take the offering, let me put a whole bunch of money in the offering and maybe that'll please God. If the church has a need, I'll put a whole bunch of money towards that need and maybe somehow that will make God happy with me. But the reality is that all the money in the world will do nothing for our relationship with God. We cannot save our own soul. We cannot save anyone else with all the money in the world. There's no money amount large enough that can redeem a soul. So think about that. You could spend your whole life making money and put money as your God, but in the end, it will do nothing to save anybody's soul. There was only one thing that ever existed that can save the soul of a person. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." You know, the only thing that can make our life right with God is what Jesus did. With all the money, all the gold, all the silver, we can never redeem our own soul, but it was redeemed by the blood of Christ. When Jesus Christ went and he died on the cross, he paid the penalty, he paid the price to bring us to God. If we will come to the point in our life where we realize that we are lost, we are without God, we are without salvation, we are outside the family of God, but that we will turn to God and trust in what he did to save our soul and call upon him to save us, that is the only thing that will give us a right relationship with God. And that takes no money. So all the money in the world will never redeem a soul. All the money in the world will never make us right with God. Only Jesus could do that. And he did that when he died on the cross. Notice the second thing he says about money here, the shortcomings of money. Money can't save you from death. Notice verse 10. "For all can see that the wise men die. The foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. The tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish." Do you know, no matter how much money you have, it will never bring us closer to God. It will never save our soul. It will never save our life from death. It cannot keep you from dying. You know, people may be able to buy better health care because they have money. People may be able to buy better medicines because they have money. People may be able to get better doctors because they have money. But they cannot, through money, save their life from dying. Both rich and poor alike will all die. Even the rich, no matter how rich, their destiny is death. In fact, many who have riches end up committing suicide because wealth doesn't even bring them happiness. Proverbs 17:1 says, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." All of us are going to die one day, no matter how much money we have. We simply cannot cheat death. And you see people just, you know, doing all they can. In fact, some of them killing themselves through their hard work. And in the end, they're going to die. And they're going to leave all that they've worked for, all the money they gain, they're going to leave it to someone else. If you look around, so many people have tried to take their money with them. You know, I have heard of people being buried in their Cadillac, and people being buried with all kinds of money. If you look back at the pharaohs in Egypt, you know, they find a new tomb all the time. There's all kinds of wealth in that tomb because they thought in the next life they'll have all that money. But the reality is that money will never save us from death, and we cannot bring it with us. So if you think gaining money is worth the whole world, is worth your life, realize can't redeem anybody, can't save you from death. Money will always fall short. Number three, identify the contrasting destinies of the wicked and the godly. Identify the contrasting destinies of the wicked and the godly. Notice the destiny of the wicked in verse 13. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. The wicked's destiny is the grave. And we really need to understand that, that they can't take their money with them. Their money will end at the grave. The wicked have no hope beyond this world. You know, you build all kinds of wealth and you say, okay, that'll get me ready for the next world, but it does nothing. No one can cheat death. And when the wicked die with all their wealth, their hope ends at death. In fact, hold your finger in Psalm 49 and turn over with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 in verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Psalmist said, I started looking at what the wicked have and all the money they have, and I began to envy them. I began to want what they have. He got his whole view of life all mixed up. He began to look at the wealth of the wicked, and he said, you know what? They have peace, they have pride, they have power. They have popularity. I want all those things, he said to himself, and this is what caused his feet to slip. But I want you to notice that his head got back on straight down in verse 15. If I said this, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Skip down to verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. What the psalmist is saying is that, you know what? When I looked things over and I saw how much money they had, I saw the, we might say, the better life, we might say today that they had the American dream. When I saw that, he says, you know, my feet began to slip. Because my perspective on life got all wrong. I began to desire and want what they have, and I got all mixed up in my head. Then he says, I entered the sanctuary of God and really knelt down before God, and he said, you know what? I understood their final destiny, and it cleared everything up for me. Because the reality, as I've already said, is if you try to do things like the world does them, if you try to cheat, steal, and do things the way the world does, you can get rich in this world. The problem is your riches will always end when you die. You can build great factories and great monuments and great companies, but the fact is when you die, that's it. It's as far as it goes. It goes no further. The grave ends it all. And the psalmist said, when I realized that you couldn't take it with you, when I realized it all ends at the grave, then I began to realize that this earth has nothing I desire except for God. He began to make his perspective right, and all he could do is look towards God and said, you know what? All I really want in this world is a right relationship with God. And that's what really mattered. Now, we look around at our world, and you see all these people think they're going to get rich because they win the lottery. As you know, if that would be some great thing. And then you read about all the lottery winners, and you know, most of their lives are all messed up. Some people thinking, I'm going to get rich because I'm going to sue a whole bunch of people. And if I sue them, you know, then everything will be great and I'll have all kinds of money. I was talking to my doctor the other day. I said, Doc, you know what? Everybody in your profession's got it wrong. I said, everybody in your profession's afraid to say anything because they're afraid that, you know, we're going to sue you. I said, but I don't sue anyone. So just tell me straight. I want to hear. And don't worry about me suing you. And he said, well, I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, we live in a sue-happy country. And the reason everybody wants to sue someone else is because they think somehow it's going to make them rich. And what really is going on is people have lost perspective. And they think that the dollar is worth their whole life and the dollar is worth everything they have. And they're willing to shove everything out of the way so they can get more money. The reality is you get it all, and when you die, you leave it all behind. And it does you no good. So he says, look, we need to understand that the destiny of the wicked ends with the grave. But notice the destiny of the righteous in verse 15. But God will redeem my life from the grave, and he will surely take me to himself. Those who live a righteous life, those who live a life that's pleasing in God's sight, they're going to be redeemed from the grave, and they'll live with God for all eternity. Because they have a relationship with God for all eternity, they'll have their relationship with God. You know, if you take all the money you can gather in this world, and if you were the richest person in this world and you had all that you could ever get, it would not be worth one day in heaven. If you had all this world had to buy and you just went and spent your money like, you know, you could not imagine, got all that you could gain, it would not be worth one single day of heaven. The righteous one day will see God. And they'll be in God's presence. Psalms is saying, look, when you compare life as long as life is, the reality is it is not long enough or not even close to all eternity we'll have in heaven. My class reunion is going to be the 30th year that from when we graduated. And we have already had three people from my class that have died. And, you know, death comes. It doesn't matter what your age is. And if you gain everything the world has to offer, it's not going to stop death from coming your way. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is real and vital, then we know that we have something beyond the grave and we'll see and be with God for all eternity. But the destiny of the wicked is the grave, an eternal hell apart from God. So he comes to the fourth point of this psalm, and it is don't be perplexed over the rich. Don't be perplexed over the rich. Now, why don't you notice a couple things here? First of all, that riches are temporary. Riches are temporary. Verse 16, do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases. For he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper, he will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of life. Riches are temporary. You simply can't take it with you. Read a story about an old miser who was about to die. Because of his way of life, he had very few friends. But before he died, he called his doctor, a lawyer, and a minister to gather around his bedside. He said, I have always heard that you can't take it with you, but I'm going to prove you can. I have $90,000 cash under my mattress. It is in three envelopes of $30,000 each. When I pass on, I want each of you to take an envelope, and just before you throw the dirt on me, throw the envelope in. Three attended the funeral, and each threw his envelope in the grave. On the way back from the cemetery, the minister said, I just don't feel exactly right. My conscience hurts me. I'm going to confess I needed $10,000 badly for the church, and I took it and only put $20,000 in the grave. The doctor said, I too must confess. I'm building a hospital, so I took $20,000 out and only threw $10,000 in. Lawyer said, gentlemen, I'm surprised and shocked and ashamed of you. I don't see how you can hold out like that. He said, I threw my personal check in for the full amount. Think about that. Story is told of Alexander the Great. Upon his death, normally in his day, they would wrap the full body like you would see a mummy today. And he asked that when they wrapped his body, they would leave his hands out. Said everyone who came by and saw his body that his hands were empty. And even though he had conquered nation after nation after nation, when he died, his hands were empty. And that is true of every one of us. We can't take it with us. It ends at the grave. So I want you to notice one final thing tonight. That riches without understanding makes one no better than an animal. A man who has riches without understanding is like a beast that perishes. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you have no understanding, it does you no good. What is the understanding that he needs? He needs to understand where money fits in, how money fits into a life, and what relationship money may take in a person's life. The reality is, a man without understanding will die without Christ, just like an animal. And he needs to understand that he must not put his hope in his money. He must put his hope in God. So let me offer a few thoughts as we think about this psalm. Number one, don't wear yourself out to get rich. It's not worth it. Proverbs 23:4 tells us, don't wear ourselves out to get rich. Because if you wear yourself out to get rich and you gain all the money, it's just not going to do you any good. Number two, don't envy the rich because their end is the grave. And it's no different than any one of us. Number three, if God blesses you with money, spread that blessing. If God allows you to have money and allows you to, you know, have more than your daily needs, you ought to take that and you ought to spread that blessing to other people. God did not give you what you have to hoard it. God did not give you what you have to keep it to yourself. He gave it that you might spread that blessing to other people. Number four, figure out that your relationship with God is more important than your relationship with money. And that's where many people get mixed up. They spend their life thinking the only thing that really matters is that almighty dollar. And they're willing to push God aside that they might have more money. Number five, focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. Every day we live our life, we ought to be focused on eternity. And that is exactly what this psalm is saying. That when we look at what happened with the stock market, with the mortgage crisis, with all the things that are going on in our world, and we think about all those people that, you know, they're just way up here when it comes to money. We ought to just put all that aside and keep our focus on eternity. Keep our focus on what matters to God. Keep our focus on what counts in life. And that is our relationship with God, because you can spend your life getting all this world has to offer, and it does you no good in relationship to eternity. The only thing that money will ever do that is good for you is the ability to give it to others and spread it out. The riddle of money is simply this. That you can have all this world has to offer and it does no value in your hand. But if your life is right with God, then money does not matter. And it will help you for all eternity. Don't worry about what's happening in the stock market. Don't worry about what's happening in the mortgage market. Don't worry if you see others who have more money than you have. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is your relationship with God. All those other things can be put aside if our life is right with God. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word and what it says, and I pray, Lord, that we would really understand that all this world has to offer will never, ever redeem a soul. And the thing that really matters is our relationship with you. So, Father, help us to keep our focus right. Help us to keep our life right before you. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand the only thing that has value in this world is what Jesus did when he died on the cross. For it's only through what he did that a soul can be redeemed. So may we look to Christ for hope. And may we put our faith in you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.